I've had a week where I thought it was supposed to be four weddings and a funeral. I've had one wedding and two funerals, so a bit different. But some days I don't know whether you feel like I was caught by the line in the song, when I thought I'd lost me, you knew where I'd left me, and then you reintroduced me to your love. That sense sometimes, I don't know if you have senior moments some days where you feel like you've lost yourself somewhere, and then you have to kind of find yourself again. So just reminded me actually of three guys, and they were living together. One was 92, one was 94, and one was 96. They were three brothers. They lived in a house that was a double story house. And the 96-year-old had gone upstairs to have a bath, and he'd gone up and he had, got ready for his bath, and he calls down to his brothers, "Hey, I can't remember, was I getting in the bath or getting out of the bath?" So the 94-year-old says, "Don't worry, I'll come up and help you." So he comes up and he gets halfway up the stairs and he goes, "Hey, was I going up the stairs or going down the stairs?" The 92-year-old sitting down the table down the stairs, he's shaking his head going, "Gosh, I hope I'm not like you two when I get old." "Don't worry, hang on a minute, I'll come up and help you as soon as I answer the door." That might take you a little while. Touch wood, knock, knock. Well, thinking about Saturate and thinking about where we are, just want to remind us that Saturate is 21 days of prayer and fasting. I want to encourage you to join us. If you haven't seen any of the videos yet, as Joel mentioned, you'll find them on Grace Point's YouTube channel. So you go to the YouTube, find our Grace Point channel, you subscribe to it, look at the playlist, and you'll find the 2023 playlist. And each day there's a new video that's released on that playlist. So we've had some great people this week. We've had Dwayne, we've had Vicky, we've had Marguerite, we've had Brody, we've had Jillian. So lots of great, and Winnie today. So lots of great people to listen to, and lots more to come. All people from Grace Point this week. And our kind of overall theme of Saturate is to kind of declutter, or to create some space at the beginning of the year to saturate in the presence of God, that we might try and hear what He's trying to say to us for ourselves and also for our church about this season. And so I encourage us to take some time and just to sit with that and to say, "Lord, what are you wanting to say to me?" It's not just about the video content. It's not just about the messages that come each day. They're an encouragement to help us think about the theme in Christ. But the overall thing is to say, "Lord, I want to press into this place of what you want to say to me." And like Joe's testimony, that's why we encourage you to fast, to try and declutter or take something out that creates more space for the presence of God to come in. So that when you would think about something, whatever it is you're fasting from, then you might say, like I'm fasting from coffee for 21 days. So whenever I think about a coffee or my normal coffee routine, I go, I'm going to use that time just to think about God, His presence, pray in, push in, think about that. So encourage you to think about just what you might do to do that. Because the thing about fasting, it accelerates the clarity of hearing from God. So I just encourage you to experiment with that. It might be something that you, a meal a day, or it might be something like TV or Facebook or whatever it is, but just want to encourage you to think about that. So our verse, this Saturate, is Ephesians 1 verse 3. We have that. It's an extended version of this here. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." So I just want to take a minute. Sometimes we get caught up in all the cognitive stuff, in the thinking, and feel like we need a sermon. And I'm not saying that's not bad, that's good. But sometimes we forget that the Holy Spirit is wanting to speak to us the words of the Father. And we're a church that wants to usher in the Spirit. We're a church that has a high value for the Spirit. And so I just encourage us to read that through a couple of times quietly yourself. And just ask, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me? Before we say anything today, before I unpack anything kind of as a message, just ask Holy Spirit what he wants to say to you this morning. So just quietly read it through a couple of times. I hope the Holy Spirit spoke something to you. Through that, do we have the next slide? Is it with the verse? Great. So what I want to do now for the next couple of minutes, I hope the Holy Spirit's spoken something to you, and I hope you hold that there throughout what we're speaking about today, because I'm sure the Holy Spirit wants to connect some things with you. I just want to unpack a few thoughts about the verse kind of from a theological point of view. It says, Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The idea of being in Christ is actually quite a hard concept to understand, but it's a concept, an important concept to grasp. That phrase, praise be to God, in different translations is translated different ways, and it would be better translated as we have here, blessed be the God. It actually is an act form of worship. Paul is leading us into the Ephesians into a place of worship to start with. The whole of Ephesians is kind of, in a sense, a worship epistle from him. And it's this sense where blessed be to God, it's a twofold thing. Blessed be to God, or blessed be God, we're worshiping God for the blessings that he has blessed us with. And so it's in, we're worshiping at the same time as recognizing we're receiving things. It's a key thing that happens throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. You'll see numbers of times where there's a thing, praise God, and there's blessings at the same time as that. So it would be better translated, blessed is the God. And blessed, it would be better that whole phrase was kind of written, blessed is the God who blesses us with every spiritual blessing. That's in a sense how it was meant to be written. And so that's part of the kind of idea of being in Christ. Blessed is the God, we worship him, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing. And that talks about in the heavenly realms. And that's also a difficult phrase to interpret. Paul's not saying that we're going to enjoy these blessings later in heaven. They're not future tense, they're present tense, they're now. And the focus he's not saying is on whether we're getting into heaven or not. That's not the focus. The focus is on the presence of God and what God is wanting to give to us in the present, with his presence, so to speak. The focus here is about being in Christ. And so the phrase heavenly realm, it's not so much referring to a physical location. So it's not talking about heaven. It's actually talking about the spiritual reality of God's world that we live in, and which every believer is a partaker of and an active participant in God's world. You see, God's world is bigger than just the physical world. Paul also talks about us being citizens of heaven. And so once we believe in Jesus, we become citizens of heaven. We become part of that heavenly realm or God's world in the bigger picture. And although we live in the physical world, we receive spiritual blessings or resources because our identity as citizens of heaven. And so the spiritual blessings we receive, they're not to be enjoyed in this present life, and they're part of what God has done for us through Christ in the heavenlies, if that makes sense. Then he talks about with every spiritual blessing. Again, Paul is not saying that these blessings are otherworldly, and he's not talking about the spiritual blessings, he's not talking about spiritual gifts, he's not talking about the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 or in Romans, he's talking about spiritual blessings. In other words, he's talking about spiritual blessings to refer to all that God's Spirit brings to enable life. All that God's Spirit brings to enable life. Remember, John talks about Jesus came to give us life and life to the full. Here, Paul is picking up that kind of same essence and saying, hey, it's about all the Spirit brings to give life. If you read right through Ephesians, then Paul goes on to explain a bunch of those things, and this little passage in chapter 1 is actually a key kind of like a pre-taster for the bigger things, the themes that he's trying to create through the rest of Ephesians. So some of those blessings include election, adoption, grace, forgiveness, revelation, and the gospel, the good news of Jesus. They're all things that he unpacks throughout the rest of Ephesians. So then to talk about the last little bit about being in Christ, or some translations talk about being united in him. Again, there's no simple definition that will suffice. And kind of each occurrence, when Paul talks about being in Christ, we have to take each of them in their own context. So in Christ we are adopted. In Christ we are accepted. In Christ there is no condemnation. Each one of those has a specific context to what Paul is trying to talk about, and we have to look at that. But generally though, the Christian faith, it's not a nice set of ideas. It's not a nice concept to understand. The Christian faith involves a deep engagement with the Spirit and the presence of the living God through Jesus Christ. It's a deep union. That's why it talks about being united with Christ. In other words, to live in Christ is to be determined by Him. He shapes who we are, and we find we have a new identity in Him. The other week I went to a dentist, Margaret and I, we're part of a health fund that has a dental clinic, and it just happens that the dental clinic is in Lithgow, and whilst that works out sometimes to go visit there, we're just getting a bit sick of driving all the way out there for free dental treatment and back to Sydney. We found a dentist in Randwick that actually works with our dental fund and charges the same. So basically we get free dental cover when we go. And so I went the other week for just a checkup and discovered that I needed 8 fillings. More so because what I also discovered was that I needed 8 fillings, not because my teeth were rotting from drinking Coke or stuff, but because apparently I grind my teeth in my sleep, and around my gums was eroding a little bit from the grinding, and so I needed kind of fillings in and around them to stop the erosion going any further. It's kind of like filling a pothole, basically. What I also found was the dentist recommended to me that I get a mouth guard. And not to play footy anymore, but to wear it at night when I go to sleep, which will be interesting. So anyway, I made an appointment last Friday to go and get the fitting for this mouth guard. So what they do, I don't know if anyone's had this done, but what they do is they sit you down and they put a little thing in your mouth and they put a whole lot of gel on it and they shove it up into your teeth and they just hold it there while you try to breathe for a few minutes, and then they kind of somehow sets, and then they just pull it out. And there's a mold of your teeth. It looks perfectly. And they do that with your top and they do that with your bottom. I was kind of thinking about, wow, cool, what an imprint of my teeth there and how accurate it is in terms of, you know, this mouth guard that's going to come. I was kind of thinking about that. It's in a similar way to what it means to be in Christ. You see, when they put the gel up and they pull it out, there's a clear imprint. There's an image of what my teeth actually look like. When we're in Christ, there's a clear image or an imprint of Jesus in us and us in Jesus. And that's what it means to be in Christ. That's why I say it's not like a nice set of ideas or something we aspire to. It's actually, when we're in Christ, there should be an imprint in our life that reflects Jesus and vice versa. There should be a clear thing that kind of can step out of that and say, oh, let me show you Jesus in me. That's in Christ. Here, where to reflect. Here's the imprint He's made in my life. Here's the deep engagement. Here's the union that He has. It's not just something that's just on the side. I'm deeply embedded. I've been imprinted. I've been engaged. I've been in union. I am in union with Jesus Christ. It's my whole life, and everything flows from that. That's what it means to be in Christ. Well, hopefully there's a few things about our verse that make sense for you. I'm going to switch it a little bit now. So I'd like you just to go with me on this, all right? Because I'm going to use this for the illustration for a little bit. I'll encourage us to stand up. And I'd like you to make your way to some space in the aisle, okay? We're going to do a little dance. It only goes for a couple of minutes. It's a really, really easy dance. Kind of like, guarantee you've probably done it at least once in your life. And I guarantee you'll know the actions because they'll be on the screen. I have to apologise, I could only get a kid's version of the song because it was the shortest version and didn't have a few other things I didn't want in it, okay? So when we do this, I just encourage you to get right into it, okay? It's kind of like a little illustration of whether we're in something or whether we're not in something, okay? So can we play the video and let's join along. Grab a seat, now you're all awake. So think about that. I hope that got your right brain going a little bit with thinking about in Christ, what it means different parts we put in, put our hand in, or a shoulder in, or our head in, or our whole self in. Where are we at with putting ourself in Christ? So here's a couple of thoughts just about that to stir us a little bit more. I want to say up front, we're in and not out. Okay? Just say that out loud. I'm in and not out. I'm in and not out. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, hey, I'm in and not out. Tell them again, a bit louder. John 3:16, a verse we know well from Passion Translation says, for this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. If you believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, it's clear that you are in and not out. I wanted to say Jesus includes everyone. For you call me a heretic. But not everyone chooses Jesus. Jesus is all about inclusion. But there's lots of people, sadly, who choose to be excluded and say no thanks. But Jesus' offer of salvation is for all people of all nations everywhere. He's for us, not against us. He's for everyone. But yeah, people have to make an intentional choice to choose to be in Christ. And then when you're in Christ, you are in, not out. Yeah. Sometimes I see some schizophrenic Christians who they believe they're in Christ, but they live like they're out of Christ. They live life like going to and fro. Oh, gosh, I had a bad thought. Oh, gosh, I lied. Oh, gosh, I stole. I'm out of Christ. I better get back into Christ. Kind of like the song. I felt I lost me, and then you knew where I left me. I better reintroduce to your love. There's a sense that happens in faith, but that's not a sense of when we understand that we're in Christ, we're in Christ. And when then we're seen as fully righteous and fully holy in God's eyes, it doesn't mean we sometimes don't have sinful experiences. But when we have those sinful experiences, they don't lead us to be out of Christ. So we have to jump back into Christ. They just mean that we need to reconcile relationship, so to speak, if that makes sense. It's a big difference between thinking we're in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, and living life like that, because we never know where we're at, and we're always feeling guilty and condemned. And the scripture says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The sense where we have to say, I'm in Christ, full stop, end of story, and start living like we're in Christ. Because when we're in, we're not out. Behavior is an echo of belief. And you either put yourself in by choice, and it's a belief that you're in Christ. It's an action. It's a choice that you make of the will. And so if we're in, that means I'm already accepted. That means I'm already adopted. That means I'm already belong. That means I already have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. I'm already blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because I am in Christ. The second thing I want to say about being in Christ is being in Christ is an all-of-me experience, and I'm learning what it feels like. Here's a picture that I took of Marguerite when we were away on our trip. It's called the Pink Lake. It's in a place called Port Gregory. It's kind of north of Perth, up near, kind of on the way up to a place called Kalbarri. We had wanted to see a pink lake. It was on Marguerite's kind of bucket list, and the original pink lake we were going to was no longer pink because it lost some of its salinity and it changed colour to be kind of just white, not pink. Anyway, we found another couple, and this was one of them. There's something I love about this picture is that Marguerite, without hesitation, said, take a picture of me. I want to get in the lake. Like, she didn't want to stand on the shore. She actually wanted to get in. She'd seen this thing ages ago. It was on her bucket list to kind of see. And when she got there, she wanted to experience it in all its fullness. So she just walked in and just experienced it and just stood there and just enjoyed the presence and the experience and the feeling of being in the lake. For me, it's a great image and a great metaphor of what it means to choose to be in Christ. Marguerite's not wondering about what it feels like. She's not standing on the shore looking, wondering, pondering the lake. She's actually stepped into the lake and knows exactly what it feels like. We choose to position ourselves to be in Christ. We're actually stepping into the reality of that. And that's really important that we do that. Because we're learning then to take hold of what is already ours. If we stand on the shore and keep looking at the lake, we'll never experience the reality of what the lake is actually like. We'll keep wondering about it. We'll keep living it through other people's experience. We'll keep thinking about it, but we're still not in. And that's what I mean about the schizophrenic Christians. There's still lots of Christians that wish they belong or wish they are accepted or still struggle with those things, but they've never really made a choice in the heart to say, I'm in. Now help me understand what that means. Help me understand what that feels like and experiences is like. You see, the world throws a lot of things at us, doesn't it? Mistruths, falsehoods, unquenchable desires, anxiety, distress, fears, jealousy, lies. Some of the lies that it throws at us are things like, I'm not good enough, or I'm not worthy enough, or I don't have enough, or I'm not spiritual enough. All those lies lead to discontentment, frustration, disappointment, helplessness, or even hopelessness. That is not a picture of being in Christ. Nor is the picture of being in Christ without some of those things coming at us. The picture of being in Christ is being able to stand looking at some of the things that are coming where Satan kind of comes and says, hey, you're not worthy enough. And I go, that may be your opinion, but actually I'm in Christ. I am fully worthy. Or you're not good enough. You don't have enough. That might be your opinion, but actually I'm in Christ. I have more than enough. Did you know that I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in from the heavenly realms? You see, we have to start being strategizing. We have to start being intentional. We have to start being specific about where we are and start living like we're in rather than living like we're out. And living like we're actually an active participant in rather than the observing what's actually happening. The reality of being in Christ is when, despite all those things that the world throws at us, we can stand like Marguerite in the lake, and what the world wants us to be in, and we can actually say no and declare, Jesus has blessed me in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. But that's a key thing for us. It's something we really have to work hard at, because when we're in, and we've been given every spiritual blessing. Now we actually need to learn how to take hold of those spiritual blessings. So it's not I'm out, it's actually I'm in. So Jesus, I've made a choice to be in you, so help me understand how to actually access those blessings. I'm struggling with acceptance, so Jesus, help me understand how do I find acceptance in you. I'm struggling with being worthy enough, so Jesus, help me to understand, access, how to find my worthiness in you. Or I'm struggling with not having enough, help me, Jesus, to find my place where you, Father, fill me, where you are the provider for me. So lastly, just thinking about being in Christ, what do we do with that? What's our practical takeaway today? It's kind of like doing the hokey pokey. I wanted to do that because, you know, it's kind of something where you go, I don't want to do that. It's silly. It's a kid's game. It's stupid. But thank you for all participating. You did so well. But sometimes that's how we feel about some things in the kingdom. Oh, that's a bit silly. That's a bit childish. Oh, it's a bit vulnerable. That's a bit intimate. I'm not sure about that. It's kind of like how I feel about getting a mouth guard. Are you serious? I have to get a mouth guard and wear it to bed? But doing something like the hokey pokey, you can't put your whole self in and at the same time have your whole self out. It's kind of one or the other, isn't it? And when it's in, sure heck gets shaken about. Feels like we get spun around. The temptation is to step back out. But that's where Jesus says, if you trust me and find me, stay in me, you'll receive every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. We, you and I, choose the position we find ourselves in. Jesus doesn't choose that for us. We choose. We choose the position. We choose whether we are in or we choose whether we hold back. Jesus says those who are in Christ are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because of our union with Christ. And that's where I think, sadly, lots of believers are missing out on so many spiritual blessings because they still think it's a good idea, but they still haven't owned it yet. A big difference between renting or owning. They hear God's invitation to be in Christ, but they don't fully want to trust him. Like the parable of the sower and the seeds. Some fell on the concrete, some fell in the soil, they took root, some fell in the soil, they took root, and thorns came, or the issues of life, Jesus says, crowded them out. And at that moment they decided, hey, I don't want to be in this garden anymore. They hear God's invitation, they don't want to fully trust, they're still standing on the shore, so to speak, enjoying the view, but not the experience of the lake. So this morning, just as we finish, I want to leave you with a couple of questions. First, I just want to ask you, where are you standing today? Where are you standing right now? Ask the Holy Spirit just to show you, and just maybe that song that we sang, maybe that is something. Maybe there's a sense where we feel, although we're not out of relationship, maybe we just need to realign and feel like we need to be reintroduced to his love in a sense. Are there beliefs which the Holy Spirit might have identified this morning which we need to shift? In other words, are there beliefs where we're still thinking that I'm not worthy enough, or I'm not accepted, or I don't belong, or I feel guilty, or shifts that are prohibiting us from stepping into Christ, that we actually need to say, hey, this belief I have is not working for me. I need an upgrade of beliefs. Jesus, I believe, help me in my unbelief. Help me discover, Holy Spirit, come show me what my beliefs ought to be. Because behavior is an echo of belief, we'll live out of what we actually believe. So if our belief is false or a belief is wrong, we'll live out of that place and we'll think it's true even though it's not true. You come back to God's word and think about what is Jesus saying to us about a belief. It used to be a little tag, you know, what would Jesus do if you've been around long enough? I actually think it ought to be, what would Jesus believe? Because if we believe like Jesus, we'll live like Jesus. Otherwise, we just get stuck in the performance mentality. I just do. It's actually what I believe. And then lastly, do I need to decide and declare I am in Christ, no turning back today? Do I need to actually declare I am who he says I am, I have what he says I have, and I can do what he says I can do? Is that my starting point today, just to start declaring those things and says, Jesus, I'm in. I am who you say I am. I have what you say I have. I can do what you say I can do. I'm just going to go forward with that. Help me.